I know what my wife needs to light her up, and she knows what I need to light me up. And that's the game we're playing with polarity, is like, what does this moment need so that I can feel that energy more? And, you know, it's actually pretty easy. It's interesting, you know, taking responsibility for the condition of the quality of energy within relationship is the most empowering thing anyone can do.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Deeper Podcast, a podcast for all of you who want more. More out of yourself, your relationships, your intimacy, and life. My name is Sophie Josefina, and I'm here to bring you deeper. I'm a sex, life, and relating coach, and I'm fascinated by all things masculine and feminine and bringing the two back together, helping people connect on a deep and real level so we can show up for each other, partner with each other in our healing, and call each other back into our power. A very important part of that for me is honoring both sides, the masculine and the feminine, creating more understanding, more compassion, and respect for each unique experience. And so in this series, I'm speaking specifically to men to honor them, to hear their perspective and how they go through relating the feminine life. Because so often we have demonized and devalued men in their experiences, needs, and struggles. And I want to change that. So I hereby welcome you to my Deeper Into Him podcast series. And before we get started for all these conversations, I want to give a bit of a disclaimer, because I realize that this conversation about men and women, masculine and feminine, can sound both heteronormative and gendered. Bear with me. Masculine-feminine dynamics play it out in every relationship. So when we speak about men towards women, I hope you can hear it as being the partner who is more in their masculine and the partner who is more in their feminine. And this very often has little to do with gender. In addition to that, I do want to acknowledge that men and women have completely different societal expectations in the world, and because of that, different lenses. For instance, we tell men they should man up and women they should smile more. In that sense, some of this might be gendered, but I hope for people outside of that binary perspective that they might still feel some truth in any of these stories. Okay, hi everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. Today is a special one, actually, because today I'm going to be joined by Max Trombley. And Max Trombley is a men's work facilitator, a conscious relationship based in New Orleans. And I've gotten to know Max actually through our work with John Weiland. And Max is honestly one of the most embodied polarity people I've gotten to know. He's been doing this work way longer than I have been, and way more as an actual embodied practice than just reading all the books. So I've invited Max today to talk about a very specific topic. And that's the topic of actually how to maintain polarity and all the stuff that comes up when the feminine partner makes more money or is the sole earner, because I know a lot of you are in these kind of dynamics, and it's so interesting what we then do with polarity. And Max has some experience in this. So first of all, welcome, Max. So honored to have you here.
Hey. Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm excited to be here and excited to dive right into a juicy topic. It's going to be great. It's
a very juicy topic. So for people who don't know you, just really briefly, like, what's your story, Max? Who are you? And maybe a little bit on what are you building?
Sure. I got into men's work around 2016. I was kind of at a crisis point in my own life and relationships, and trying to figure out what it means to, you know, be a man in this world and you know, where to go with it. And a couple of years later, I got involved with John Weiland, and I work with him as an assistant in his programs. And that's sort of the, my technical path. But in terms of, you know, polarity in life, I've really started to, I guess maybe 3 or 4 years ago, I started to feel into this underlining energetic piece around what's happening in life, whether it's in relationship, business, and parenting. I have two kids. There's sort of the cognitive thinking and communicated space that we live in. Mm-hmm. And then there's this underlying energetic space that exists. And it's everywhere. It's in work, it's in sex, it's in parenting, it's in, you know, even just if you're alone in a room, you know, knowing what the energy is that you're creating or that you're sitting in has a huge impact on where the moment is going at any point. And so, you know, that's a lot of the work I've been doing recently, is just being aware of that energy, cultivating the right energy, you know. So in this topic, it's the, you know, the energy of polarity between a couple. And also, how do we set ourselves up so that the next moment is the moment we desire, rather than a moment that just unfolds unconsciously, you know? Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really where I come from with it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so curious to hear a little bit more, I think, about how you see polarity, because I think this is such a beautiful one of actually having the power or the ability to create the energy, rather than what I think happens on for a lot of people is a bit of resentment that,
yeah,
I don't know, they're not claiming me, or she's in her head, or whatever it is, of just kind of like this like energy. And
yeah,
polarity is such a beautiful technology, I think, of, hey, you're able to create these things, and it's actually very simple. So what's polarity to you? Like, what's like the real life?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, so the way that I describe polarity most simply is that between two people, it's like there's an energy ball. Like, I, you know, let's call it like a fireball of energy, right? Mm-hmm. And it can start naturally just based on attraction. So you meet somebody, you're attracted to them, the energy exists. We call it chemistry. And over the course of a relationship, it's up to each person in the relationship, first of all, to be aware of what's the volume of energy. You know, if you want to be a practitioner of polarity, I would say that it's the responsibility of each individual to be aware of the volume of energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if something's lacking, or if there's some closure and the ball is shrinking, you know, it's the responsibility of each individual to really add fuel back into that fire. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a big part of this is sexual, but then there's a huge other component that involves trust and, you know, presence. Like, are people checking out of the relationship, or are they staying in the ring? Like, mm-hmm. there's a whole number of factors. But at a base level, the way I would describe polarity is that it's like an energetic mass or an energetic ball between two individuals. And it can be consciously upkept and lit, like wider and, you know, hotter and louder, you know, so yeah, it can be tended to consciously.
I love that description, because I think especially putting this in the frame of like a long-term relationship, because we can all feel it so much in the beginning, right? And it's so like yummy and just delicious to kind of fall back into. But it's this, especially over the long term, like how do we, when life becomes normal, when you have kids, when it's about who's going to do the dishes, you know, when, and it's easy again to become resentful of like, oh, it's not here. And this person isn't, there's no energy between us, and to feel our power almost, especially also in this long-term relating of adding fuel to this ball of energy. I love your perspective. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. This, the resentment that, you know, what I find most often, resentment comes up when somebody in a relationship has expectations that like the other person should be contributing to the polarity ball somehow, you know, the polarity energy. And mm-hmm. when that person's not doing that, you know, it's like, it feels like a drop. Right. And so like, where's my partner? Like, I'm not feeling anything from him or her. Like, what's going on here? And you know, what I'm a big stand for is personal responsibility in life and relationship. And so, you know, let's just say, for example, I'm married, I have two kids. We've been together 4 years. And when there's a drop in the polarity in my relationship, I try not to say like, you know, oh, she's not doing something. And I instead look at it like, what can I do? What can I bring to my partner so that I relight or reopen like her source of fuel into the, you know, energy ball? Maybe she's having a hard day. Maybe she's been struggling with one of the kids, like whatever is happening. I have a choice to either bring the power to relight that energy, or to close and have resentment and expectations and she's not doing something right. You know what I mean? Yeah. And for me personally, I find it much more empowering when I have a sense of control and power over the moment, rather than being at the effect of, you know, whatever my partner's bringing.
Yeah. And let me just right away give a nuance to this, because I can hear the feminine people who are listening to this thinking, yeah, exactly, that is what he should do, and like he needs to claim me. And my goodness, do we have as the feminine the power to do exactly the same thing that Max is talking about, of, you know, I always forget what the word is in English, but it's just honestly like when, for instance, the polarity is a little bit dried up between me and my partner, it's just bringing my joy for life, for things, for whatever I'm doing, my excitement, my livelihood, the way I dance through the room when I'm whatever. It's just bringing those little things that lights things up just as much. And so we have that responsibility on both sides, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later, but I can hear the women listening to you. Yeah, exactly. You should do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so should my, you know, my partner, My wife does too. Like if I'm in my head and I'm trying to figure out, oh, there's a complex like marketing situation I'm trying to, right. You know, I'm like, so 3 days in and I'm completely locked up in my own head, you know, it's up to her in some cases to, you know, wrap her arms around me from behind. She actually did this yesterday. I've been traveling a lot. I just got home. I was in my kitchen and I don't know what I was doing. And I think I was making coffee or something. And she came up behind me and just wrapped her arms around me. And in that moment, like I melted into her. And that's the thing, is the feminine has incredible gifts in terms of being able to light the masculine up in turn, like, you know, to feel love, to feel passion. And it's really our art. There's an art to this, right? So yes, I have a responsibility to light my wife or my partner up. And so does she. If we're going to play this game of polarity ball, you know, like, and keep this fire alive, it's really up to both of us.
I like that, the game of polarity ball. I'm curious, like, as I'm listening to you, like, how fluid does polarity feel to you? Do you feel like you're often also playing with you more in a feminine, her more in a masculine role? Or is it, does it feel more like different shades of your masculine playing with her feminine?
Yeah, that's an interesting question.
Because we all say it, right? We say polarity is fluid, but then actually I've been questioning this also for myself. Is it practically true?
You know, it probably is fluid for some people. I think for me and for my partner, we have some pretty, like I'm a pretty masculine dude, and I bring kind of, there's a pretty consistent flavor that I bring in my life, in all facets, whether it's, you know, work, relating and parenting and, you know, in all of the spaces. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to polarity, you know, I would say I have a pretty wide range of how I create polarity, like, mm-hmm. you know, what I bring into the space to light polarity up. But I think that generally speaking, I'm pretty masculine and my partner is super feminine and it's great. And
that's, I love that. It almost feels like a little bit of a permission slip, because I think I've myself had that too. But when we get started in this work, there's almost like, no, but it should be fluid and you should practice both sides. And it's actually nice to kind of hear your story in this, because I feel a bit of a permission slip of, yeah, we also get to mostly play in those energies and practice the different flavors that are in there.
Yeah. Well, that's true. And I mean, it is true that, like, I can't always be the masculine. You know, I have an emotional body. My emotional body is pretty feminine. And so there are times where, like, my wife might be holding space for my expression. Yeah. And that's, I think, normal in any relationship. But and you bring up a good point, which is like, how much of that can happen before it flips, right? But we can talk about all the circumstances in which polarity flips all day. We have a pretty specific one today, so I don't want to jump the gun on flip polarity, but
Yeah, that's a beautiful segue. So today I invited you on a very specific topic, because I've had it in my personal life. Actually, it's a pattern. I don't want to call it a pattern, but it's a dynamic I've repeated in every relationship that I'm in. And I see it a lot with you know, actually both the men and the women that I lead. And that is that, you know, the feminine partner actually makes more money or is the sole earner. And how to be with that in... Yeah, how to still keep that chemistry, still keep that masculine, feminine sense alive, even when those kind of dynamics are there. And I will right away be honest about how I've gone through that. I know I've moved through that in previous relationship, being terribly resentful again, that I wanted the rich man to whisk me off my feet and he wasn't doing that, or I had to hold the pose, or I thought, or I made that move me in a very masculine energy, thinking I should be supported in my purpose. And so it would do very strange things also from my side, but also in what I saw in the men that I was dating, that had also brought up lots of stuff. So I'm super curious what your story in this is and what your experience has been in this.
Yeah, sure. Well, so it's interesting. Yeah, we are in a great time and place in human history. Women are making a tremendous amount of money. And all across the globe in relationships, there are women that are either making more or are the sole breadwinner, where men, you know, traditionally held that role. And so, you know, it's interesting. I think that there's a couple things we're talking about here. One is, so if the feminine partner in a relationship is making more money and it's causing an impact in the relationship, I think the key is to kind of tease apart what's possible here. So, you know, the first thing I would go to is, if we just talk about the masculine partner, if there's a drop energetically, so she's making more money and he feels diminished or weak, really what that speaks to is his self-valuation. So mm-hmm. for example, like if I just use myself as an example, I'm a man, like I'm cool, everything is great. I get into a relationship, she makes more money than me. Oh, like I'm not good enough. Like, what's wrong with me? Like, why is it that she makes more money? Like, what am I doing with my life? Am I good enough? Like all this self-talk stuff can start to happen. And if that happens, what that can, you know, that can, it can create, essentially, you're just in, you're, that puts the masculine in the feminine body, right? Because it's like feeling not good enough, feeling like inadequate. And it's really critical, first of all, that if a guy enters a relationship and she makes more money, first of all, if the guy has any of that stuff coming up, that's got to be sorted out. So this is the value of men's work, having a men's container, being like, man, my wife makes three times as much as me. And I, like, really, like, it's hurting my sense of self. And the remedy is that, just without changing anything in terms of the financial arrangements, the remedy would be that that masculine partner needs to find ways to rebuild the sense of self, rebuild the confidence, find grounding in like I'm a man and I'm great. And like, she loves me and I'm gonna fuck her to God and whatever. Like there's no need for self-valuation issues to flip polarity, you know, if there's a healthy way through that for the man. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I was in that retreat with you. So last year in December, we were in a retreat with John Wyland, David Data, and David Data said this beautiful thing of this might sound as a completely different story, but when a man gets to feel the value of his hard cock when he isn't hard. So what are you providing to her without the hard cock? Like, what are you without your erection? What are you providing? Yeah. And it's almost the same of what's the role of your masculinity or the provider energy actually when it isn't totally financial?
Yeah. I mean, and there's a ton, like in my own relationship, you know, I bring a sense of security, a sense of direction. Yeah. You know, when I first met my wife, it was interesting. I don't remember how soon after I met her, but she brought up this thing about like, you know, the masculine is like the train. It's like the train or the conductor of the train. And like, I'm on a path, I'm doing this thing in life, and my wife has a job, you know, and she, like, it doesn't really matter what we're bringing in. It's like, I'm here to create the structure and really like, this is where we're going in life. And she's here to fill that space with love. And it's almost as if what we make financially doesn't matter because we're coming together, we're creating a situation, whatever, like, and for the masculine, it's really critical that you don't really worry about how much your partner makes and you just, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about in the lead up to this podcast was the masculine to come into right relationship with a feminine partner that's making a tremendous amount of money. Like the healthiest way you could be is like, thanks for bringing what you're bringing to the relationship. Oof. That's great. Oof. You know,
I like that.
Like, I'm super stoked for the million you made this year. That's awesome. Let's go on a vacation.
Yeah. So, oh my God. I'm feeling that.
Yeah. And I mean, ultimately it's because what you're feeling is the lack of any sort of confusion about it. Like, thank you for showing up in our relationship. Thank you for contributing in such a beautiful way. Like the amount of money that you bring in doesn't matter. You know, even if it's three times as much as me, it's like, here we are doing this together. Thank you.
Yeah. I think you're touching on something so key. It's about this we.
Yeah.
Rather than you are making more than me. No, how beautiful that you're bringing this money to our container and me as the masculine, as the holder of the direction of this space. I'm so excited because we get to go on this luscious holiday now.
Yeah, totally. Or like six of them, right? Yeah. Or we just live on some island somewhere. But yeah, I mean, that's the critical piece. And so like I was saying for the masculine, so she's making more money. If the masculine partner feels like it's really like withering away at your self-value, it's a critical piece that you address it and don't let that happen, you know, or if it has already happened, find a way out of it. So rebuild yourself through confidence building exercises or finding a deeper purpose that you can live for, whatever. I mean, there's a million ways to do it. This is what I work with men, you know, often to do is what's your value and how can you increase it for yourself so that you can show up in a stronger way. Yeah.
Yeah. I love asking, the women I work with, and when they say like, oh, I want a rich man, I say, okay, but what does that mean when you have a rich man? What's going to happen? And they say, oh, it's just going to feel like I don't have to take care of him and he can spoil me. I said, yeah. And that could happen, right? Also, if he isn't necessarily wealthy in terms of money, right? That can happen in lots of other things. So I think the thing that almost gets to be disconnected is this, that the masculine can be so beautifully in his purpose and not necessarily have it be about how much money he's making.
Yeah, totally. And it's interesting when you said that, like, I really wonder what would be underneath this idea. Like, like, I want to find a rich man, right? Is it really about the money, or is it about that? Like, here's a man that's on purpose and he's got his life together. And I get to come in and fill that space with my magic. Like, that's almost what I'm hearing. And I'm also hearing the part where it's like, and I can relax and like, he can take care of me. So I get that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was saying in the beginning, I had that, not in this relationship, but previous relationship, where I was resentful because I wanted somebody to whisk me away and I wanted to not have to take care of them. And I thought I had lots of judgment. And that's also why I wanted to have this conversation, because it also happens on the feminine side that we have lots of judgment to our masculine partners for living their life the way they are. I can now see that one of my partners at the time was actually so on point with his purpose that he wasn't withering. And he wasn't collapsing in any way. And it wasn't about the money. It was about holding his vision. Now I can see how beautiful that energy actually was. Back in those days, I thought, oh no, it should have, he needs to take care of himself because now I have to take care of them. And that's unattractive.
Yeah, totally. It is. Yeah. I mean, you want to be two individuals that are pretty healthy and you're able to handle your own business. Yeah. And it's also totally okay to like, at any point be like, baby, I need some extra love. Like, I'm having trouble right now. I need some nurturing and nourishment. Like, being able to ask for those things is critical.
Yeah.
So there is a second point. So we talked a little bit about the masculine and their responsibility. I'd love to also pivot to what can happen in relationships when the feminine makes more money with regard to the feminine responsibility. Would you be open to that?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Great. So this is it. So the common two factors here are, one, the masculine drops confidence and drops direction. And so like, because of the self-valuation, which we talked about, the other thing that's really critically important is that women who make a lot of money typically live in their masculine at work. Right.
Yeah.
And so they're creating structure. Yeah, totally. They're creating structure. They're bringing in cash. It's very energetically, it's a very masculine game. It's also, you know, traditionally it's been a man's game, but that's really not the case anymore. But the energy of business and the energy of creating cash flow is a masculine energy. So when the feminine comes home from work or gets out of the workspace or is texting or communicating energy throughout the day, there's this other piece that's really critical, which is that for polarity to exist, there's a certain balance of masculine and feminine energy. And if the feminine is holding masculine energy constantly, there's two things. One, either the masculine needs to out-masculine that energy, or the other thing would be the feminine partner needs to recognize, you know, I need to bring a little more of my magic, my feeling space, you know, like I would imagine that most of your listeners know what their feminine magic is, you know what their gifts are that they can give into a relationship. And that's the energy that is needed. I need to feel that from my partner for that polarity to stay alive, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the critical piece is being able to pivot between I'm working, I'm in my masculine, I get out of work, or I'm on the phone with my partner, and I move back into the part where I'm coming from my heart and the feeling space within my body.
Yeah,
this is why we do. Yeah.
I love the intentionality that's in there of course, it's so okay to hold that energy, especially in a female body, like to be that, to have your shit together and to kick ass, and I'll do all of that, of course, and to bring the intentionality of like, when I'm in front of my partner, I get to bring in some of that magic, of that softening, of that, yeah, of that mystery. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And that's the risk. Like, so flipping back to like a healthy polarity energetic, that's the thing. So I know what my wife needs to light her up, and she knows what I need to light me up. And that's the game we're playing with polarity, is like, what does this moment need so that I can feel that energy more? And, you know, it's actually pretty easy. Like, I just need to walk in and like, you know, grab my wife like with a little extra force, and like my wife needs to come in and like touch me with a little softness. Like, it's that simple at a base level. And in more complex moments, you know, maybe it just requires a little more. And it's interesting, you know, taking responsibility for the condition of the quality of energy within relationship is the most empowering thing anyone can do, whether you're the, you know, masculine or feminine partner. And I think it, it's the key where
what do you think the masculine, like, because I'm thinking of every time when I've heard that this, of course, does affect men, and it does, like what we were talking about, it does, like, this play with the sense of self, like, am I enough? Can I actually provide? Am I the man, or whatever that means, right? What can we do as the partner, as the feminine partner in that? Like, what is it that he truly needs? Like, and because I love this piece of, like, we can take responsibility on both sides to light our partners up and to ignite them, right?
But yeah,
what is totally. It? What is it, especially in that piece that we can do? Because it's such a delicate, charged subject sometimes.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I can speak to what works for me in my relationship. I think a lot of men are similar, but you know, first of all, my words of affirmation and physical touch are basically right. my like biggest love language. You know, I think any of the love languages are great. I'll take them all, but those are the two loudest ones in my box. And yeah, I mean, so for me, what really lights me up in my relationship is when my wife's like, wow, you're killing it. Like, I'm so proud of you. I love what you're doing. Like, mm-hmm. God, it turns me on when you like having whatever it is. Like, you know, for me to feel the part of her that's like excited to be with me and desiring me, mm-hmm. Is the thing that lights me up. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, whether that's like adoration, whether it's devotion, whether it's desire, whether it's praise, what else could it be? Even just a moment of like eye contact with a smile. Like if I can, like if she looks at me and I see her and she's just like, you know, she smiles at me, like that is even like something that, you know, so brings simple. That. Yeah. It's so simple, but it's a moment that makes me like, ah, I got her. She's with me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, so what about you go on a date and you go to a fancy restaurant and she's making more money. So she's like, baby, I'm going to go pay for this. How do you, in a dynamic like that, keep the masculine and feminine? Because this is honestly what's happened to me several times. And it's these little tricky things where you could feel it in the air.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. That's a really so interesting. Yeah, that's so it's how, what I would say is if the feminine partner knows she's going to pay for the dinner, there's a little bit of a playfulness that could happen here. This is the thing I'm thinking. And ironically, I guess over the course of my relationship, like my wife and I have gone back and forth on paying for dinner and we don't make it a thing. Right. Mm-hmm. So like, it could be as simple as like, I've got it, you know, and just let the thing float away. Don't make it like a heavy, like I'm going to pay for this. However, if I know, you know, how do you make a moment more playful? Right. So it's like, yeah, I'm trying to think about what you could say. There's something that you could say, like I'm going to cover this and I want to see what you can bring later. Like, what can you do? What can you do to like take the pressure off the bill and off that you've paid for it?
I like that.
And make it more, yeah, just like, how can you make it playful? Like, or light. That's the other thing. One of the things I try, you know, I talk a lot about lightness, creating lightness. Mm-hmm. Things don't have to be that heavy. So like, let's say you're sitting at the table and the waiter or the waitress brings the check, like, just like stick your card in it and push it over there and don't make it a moment. Come back to like, you know, what are you feeling? What do you want to do later? You want to go grab another drink somewhere? Like, get right away from that check and that moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I love that. I really love it. I love bringing the lightness and I love almost using it to still play in that way and to not necessarily be like, oh, now I'm in my masculine and I'm taking
care
of it all. Because that's what will happen to me. I'll just collapse and feel awkward about it because I don't want to be in that dynamic. But at the same time, I want to spoil us.
Yeah, totally. And you can. Yeah. And also that's great. Yeah. So yeah, you know what? Here's a good way to describe this. There's a certain energetic volume of what's happening with you taking out your card and putting it in the thing, right? That has a certain volume. So you need to find something with a louder volume in that moment. So that this, So like, I mean, what would be the hottest thing you could possibly do? That's like the loudest volume. You're like, you take out your card, you stick it in the little thing, you slide it over there and you lean in and you just growl at your partner. You're like, open your shirt a little and you're just like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I, like, and as fun as that is, like, that's really what it is. Like, I don't know. What would flip any guy back into polarity? Like you could just straight up, you pay for it and you're just like, I can't wait until you fuck me later. Like, forget it. That moment no longer exists. It's all about what's happening later.
I love that. Yeah. That's so beautiful. Make something even louder volume.
Yeah, exactly. In the direction you want to head.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've also noticed like, and it helps me to also talk about these practical things because it, because life does get just really simple and who pays for the check, like level. And I've noticed in when I was in this dynamic in my current relationship as well of I had to very consciously and intentionally bring the energy that I honored him in the financial decisions that he was making and that he was making for us. And also exactly this we concept of what do we think we should spend our money on, or what do we care about? What are we creating together? What are we building? And to honor almost his vision in that, regardless of what the comparison was between me and him. I'm just really, I think that's something beautiful that the feminine can really bring to the masculine of like, it's so simple. The question of like, what do you think we should do?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
What leaving the space. I want to hear what you think we should do.
Yeah. And that's speaking to, you know, leadership. You're just like, you're leaving the space open for the masculine to take charge, which I think is great. And that's, you know, that's a critical thing that I think women are feeling a lot of, is that men are sort of out of sync with leadership and out of sync with you know, holding that masculine pole in relationship. And that's what men's work's all about. And that's why there's men like in huge numbers going back towards, you know, learning how to take leadership in any given moment, as well as the greater relationship.
Yeah, if actually what is leadership, and I think one thing that I also work with men, and one thing a concept I work with a lot is, can you source your bigness from within rather than from the external? Because then it doesn't matter if she makes more money. It doesn't matter if she's taller than you. It doesn't matter if she can lift more than you, whatever it is, right? Whatever you get it from. Like, can you source the bigness from within rather than from the external things? Because then it becomes way more steady and it becomes way more
real.
And there's nothing anybody can do.
I mean, and that's the quintessential masculine, is that like I'm rooted within myself, coming from a place of power, and like I'm not at the effect of anything. If you're at the effect of other things, you're in your feminine. So like the quintessential masculine is like, I'm the man and I'm great, like everything's great, right?
Yeah.
And just rooting in that. All the work that we do and I do on my own is you know, it's embodiment work, and it's really about getting out of the thinking space and getting out of the known, you know, the known truth of your gut and your body and your, you know, your wider self.
So can you talk about this more specifically? Like, let's say a man is listening to this and he's in this dynamic with his partner, or maybe it's not about money, maybe she's taller than him, whatever, right? He's in this dynamic where he just doesn't feel big enough, or he doesn't feel enough.
Yeah.
And they keep coming into little situations where it becomes painfully clear that whatever, she's taller, she's making more money. What's the embodiment work that gets to happen there?
Yeah. So the remedy, let's kind of extrapolate this into two things. So there's momentary smallness, like it just happened in a moment, or there's like, this has been happening for 6 months in the relationship. So let me just talk about both of these. So if it's something that just happened in a moment, the key is that the masculine partner should take a deep breath and come back into a lower sense of power, like power in the belly and the gut and the cock. And what I often describe this as is get hungry. So like, if there's a moment that you're trying to repivot back into polarity energy, you know, just like, if I bring hunger to my wife, like I'm hungry for her, that's the easiest way to just get it right back. Like, I fucking want you, baby. I can't wait to have you tonight. Let's get these kids to sleep, right? All I have to do is bring hunger. Yeah. And it's super easy. It's the same hunger. Like if you're hungry, like literally I'm hungry for food. You feel that in the same space that you feel hunger for a partner or sexual hunger. Now, if it's all like 6 months, it's been going on for 6 months and like the energy's diminished and the man's out of his power. I mean, really the critical piece, and man, I'm talking to you guys, if you're listening to this, like you have to find support with other men. You have to source your power within yourself, but you're not going to do that when you're in a space where you're being committed, like either because of your self-evaluation or because of what energy is coming from your partner. Like if you can't grow your roots and like really like grow your power, you have to go to spaces where your power can be grown. And that's what the value of men's work is. That's why I lead men's groups. That's why I work with men. I just got back from Mount Shasta, California with John Wineland and a whole bunch of men. Like the reason we're doing this work and the reason we have these containers is because it's in these containers that we do the warrior's work. It's where we train. It's where we build our, you know, our strength systems and our value systems, and it's where we empower each other so that we can go home and fuck our wives open to God. It's really that simple. That's what we're here for.
This is such a beautiful thing you're talking about, because I've noticed in my own life, like, of course I feel more feminine because of my partner next to me, and that becomes a dance, but my feminine actually gets nourished from spending time with women. Yeah. And it's when I've spent an evening with my girlfriends, just whatever, just chilling on the couch and chatting, and then I come back to my partner, I seem to be in a much more giving energy than I am if I don't have that in my life. And there's nothing he can do to fill up my cup the way my time with other feminine beings does. And that is such a key element, because I think what I see happen with a lot of men is that, especially on their emotional side, they're relying mostly on their partner to get that met.
Yeah, it's not gonna work.
It's not gonna work.
Right. What you're talking about is energetic attunement. Like, you have a core energy when you're open and your heart's open and flowing. Like, that core energy, you can be fostered easily in a space full of feminine beings, you know. And really, like, what we're talking about is, if you're a feminine embodied human, so no matter what your gender is, if you are feminine embodied, you will come alive surrounded by feminine embodied individuals.
Yeah.
If you are a masculine being, it's the same thing, surrounded by other masculine beings. So that's it. It's energy attunement. You're tuning your energetic vibration back to your source energy when you're around people that are of the same embodiment as you.
Yeah. I love that. And then when I come back to my partner, it's my energy becomes more a dance rather than a filling up.
Yeah.
So one feels like filling up and the other feels like, okay, now I'm actually dancing in that energy.
Yeah. It's so great.
And you need it. You really, really need it. So I love that you're talking about this, of like, go spend time with your men and actually do the, and not just the thinking, talking, but actually dropping into the body together.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. And I love when my wife's inner feminine, like in any of the forms, you know.
Yeah.
It gives me something to work with.
Yeah. It gives you something to work with.
Yeah. It's great. It's a challenge. Like, how can I grab this and hold it and like bring it in? You know what I mean?
This is such a beautiful, I think a lot of women that are, sorry, I'm also working with in a business mastermind right now. I'm leading a business.
Yeah.
And there are women there that say, yeah, but if I make more money, I'm going to be too much for him.
What does that mean? What's the too much?
We hear that a lot. Like, oh, I'm afraid I'm going to be too much. I'm afraid I'm going to be too much, that he can't handle me. What if he can't handle me? And just hearing you say that for a moment, like, I love our different flavors because it gives me something to work with.
Yeah, totally. I mean, and part of this speaks to the partners we attract too, right? Mm-hmm. And so what I would say is, if you have women in your mastermind who are not in relationship and they have this belief, one of the little pieces to work on is find a guy that it won't be too much for.
Yeah.
This is kind of stereotypical, but find a guy that has a farm with 500 cows. Like, I'm not kidding. If there's a guy that can manage all of, like, you know, tonnage of wild animals, right? That's a guy who's going to come home and like, all of the feminine in the world, he's not gonna have a problem with it. He's gonna be like, yeah, baby, that's great. Like, let's do this. You know what I mean? Like, you just need to find a man that has a wide physical capacity to handle feminine. And this is not a thinking game. You need to find a guy that actually can physically, in an embodied state, handle a lot. You know, somebody that's physically active, or an athlete, or a sports player, like, people that are in their bodies have a wider typical, you know, unconsciously at least, they have a wider capacity to handle feminine just because they're tuned to their bodies and their body capabilities. So yeah, partner selection is huge. And then for the women that are in relationships, they're concerned about their partner's ability to hold them. It's the two things. It's like, are they developing their capacity to value themselves and hold the greater space? And two, are you bringing the energy that, no matter who your partner is, can open your partner back up into hunger, you know? Value, like whatever's needed in the moment.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I'm curious, like, Max, what's your like, how do you see this whole concept of provider? Because that's really almost what we're talking about, right? Like, one of, I think, the masculine gifts is this energy of providing, and I heard you on the hunger, and I think this is almost, that's like a dark masculine, this is maybe more like a light masculine way of a similar dynamic of just, what's provider energy when it isn't about the money? What's that for you, actually?
Yeah, I mean, it's about the direction. It's about the bigger picture of where we're going in relationship. I'm providing the arc of our relationship. I'm providing the direction of our relationship. You know, when I think about this question, how that looks in my life would be like, this is where we're going. You know, like just the other day, I was talking to my wife, her name's Kelly. I was talking to Kelly and, you know, I was like, this is what I see for the next couple of years. This is where I think we're going to go. Like, you know, we have an apartment in New Orleans. It's great. And I was just talking about I'm looking forward to the next space that we grow into. Like, I'd like to get within 2 years, I'd like to have this kind of situation for us. It's sort of where I was. That's like kind of the specific example of what I was talking about. And what that is it's just like relationship leadership. I'm just taking leadership and I'm saying, this is where we're going. And she can say she could say whatever, like she could bring, you know, this is what I'd like in a couple of years. And I could say, hell yeah, let's do that. That's great. We're going to do that. Right. So just energetically, I'm setting the, yeah, we're going to do that, which is like, it's about security. Right. Yeah. And, you know, it's also about an awareness piece. Consciousness is really awareness, right? Masculine is the consciousness, feminine is the feeling. And so at a core level, it's about just conscious awareness of where we're going in life. Like, this is what I know to be true. And this is where we're going to go. That's what providing is, you know, and then there's also how we're doing it and like providing like the food, clothes, shelter, money, you know, this goes back to long before there was ever money. It's just like, you know, it's interesting, you know, what provider means.
Yeah. Yeah. I love this like relationship leadership because I notice my partner does that too. And I resist him a little bit because I'm so used to being controlled in a lot of places and the strong independent woman. I call myself recovering strong independent woman because I am.
Yeah, totally.
And I resist him and he'll say like, oh, Sophie, but this is what we're doing in December and this is what we're doing next year. And I want us to feel into what we want to build together. And there's always a part of me that's like, no, I just want to like have fun in the moment. But actually, even though I resist him, I'm so grateful that he's bringing that energy because I have the capacity to bring that energy.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I will want to. Say, yeah, that's absolutely. But also your resistance is really just, you're calling your man to a wider masculine power. And, you know, a lot, I talk to men about this a lot is that resistance is often just a test. And, you know, your job is not to collapse in the resistance. Your job is to be like, yeah, I've got this, like, whatever. You know, there's a fun thing that happens in my relationship where my partner will be telling me something like in the car, right? She'll be like, oh, you know, like you could go this way to get there. And I'll be like, no, don't tell me what to do. I've got this. And like, it's actually really funny because like, it comes up a lot. Like it's just her nervous system. You know, she might be like, oh, the light's turning yellow. And I'll be like, I've got it. I'm driving. Like, don't worry about it. Oh.
I feel that in my body.
Totally. But it's such a funny little, it's a funny little example, but it's real. It's like, you know, she's trying to take control of the direction of that car by telling me how to drive. And I'm like, no, don't do it. In fact, I'm absolutely not going to take a left. I'm going to take a right. And I'm going to go the long way just because you told me to take a left. And like that, it's me reclaiming the power of the masculine in the moment where she's trying to have control. And it's the same thing as resistance. The resistance is just you trying to claim control, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so ultimately it's the masculine job to be like, no, I'm not listening to you. We're doing it my way.
I can't tell you how much I'm feeling this in my body because it's such it's such a big thing to. I love calling this the inner brat because it is a little bit of a bratty energy.
Totally.
I love all the archetypes. I love all the energies. I have no judgment on them, but it's a bratty energy. It's my princess that comes out. It's like, no, I want it to be like this. And to feel that I'm not fazed by you and fuck, I'm not doing that. And I love you and I'm going to get us to the restaurant. That just feels, my whole body's like, oh yeah, that's what, that's like, there's such a deep longing for exactly that interaction. Yeah.
And you mentioned the dark energy thing earlier. This is exactly how to play with it, you know? And if you keep this up, you're going to feel it later. You know what I mean? Like there's a way to play with this. And it's all in service of keeping the polarity, you know, in the right place. And like, I really feel bad for anyone that doesn't understand the language of polarity because they don't know. And they're constantly at the effect of everything that's going on and they don't know how to control it. But once you kind of figure it out and you play, it's amazing. Like it's really, you can affect the polarity all the time. You know what I mean? It takes just being aware of it. And then secondly, like, what are the tools I can use to bring it back into like the right balance?
Yeah, this flavor of play and lightness is really cool.
Yeah, it's crucial.
That just opens up things. It brings it from the mind and the seriousness and the analysis of what just happened and
exactly.
Why am I triggered by you or whatever. To
all the stories.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's powerful.
That's it. It's the key. Like, the key is lightness and joy are so important because, like, it's the antidote to the heaviness that is story and belief. We have all these stories and beliefs that probably aren't even true. They've been programmed as children and then reinforced through our behavior. And at the end of the day, none of it matters because all that matters is the energetic truth of the moment.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So what's the bigness in the masculine? What's the gift in the masculine when it's not about money? It's not about body. It's not about what's his gift?
Power. It's about power. It's about direction. It's about consciousness. And presence, really. Like, mm-hmm. The biggest gift the masculine can give is presence with the feminine and the felt, like, feeling the feminine.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, if my, like, at any moment, if my wife walks into the room, like, I'm either feeling her or I'm not. And the number one thing I can give her at any moment is just to feel her as she is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And bring power to the relationship for sure within this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. What is that? Cause I love the word, but what is power, bringing power to the relationship? What is that?
What does that actually mean? That's an interesting point. like, if I picture it, I'm picturing like Braveheart and this guy at the front of an army. And he's just like, we are doing this. We're going to kill it. And like, my family's behind me all dressed with paint and like spears and swords. But no, I mean, power really is, it's about conscious leadership and it's about like knowing your power. I mean, that's really the thing, is that, like, forget about relationship for a second. A man mm-hmm. with power is a man that knows his capability. Mm-hmm. And, you know, technically, like, one of the things that comes up in men's work is that, like, knowing that you can kill is real power. Yeah. Knowing that you can slay, proverbial slay, like, whether it's like slay in business or slay in war, like, that's power. Knowing what you're capable of. And, you know, it can also be physical stuff, like having a good, you don't have to be like super muscular, but knowing that you're capable in your body, like, that's also power.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I would say.
Yeah. It's this self-knowing.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. I love this. I wanted to just bring in one last little story of my personal life and then I'll slowly wrap this up, but,
sure.
One thing I've noticed in this whole dynamic is that the moment my partner actually acknowledges me in my purpose and in my business, and maybe a little bit in my masculine energy, that's when the feminine floodgates open.
Yeah. Oh, that's
when
an interesting point.
When he goes like, hey, Soph, I see what you just did. I see what the workshop you just gave. Like, you're fucking good at what you do. I see you, babe. Then.
Yeah. Right. Interesting.
When I'm not acknowledged in that, there is always something that stays online and thinks I spend so much of my energy and so much of my inner masculine is very much attuned to one thing. And I'm so dedicated to that. And as long as I'm not being acknowledged in that, I notice I always stay that kind of stays in my body. The moment he speaks it to existence, like, baby, I fucking see you're killing it. High five. Like,
yeah.
I respect you so much. Then
you're feeling his consciousness in that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you walk into his space and he's like, baby, I see you. I love you. Thanks for doing what you're doing. That's him being in his masculine as consciousness, aware of what you're doing and labeling what you're doing. And so you're feeling it as like, damn, he knows what I'm up, like, what I'm doing. And it's validating. He's validating you and making you feel good for what you've done. So it's like, it's a two for one.
Yes. Yeah, if my inner masculine just needs a little bit of that validation or that acknowledgement of what it stands for. And the moment that's there, it also removes it kind of flows out of my body. It's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as it's not there for some reason, it kind of stays there.
Yeah. I mean,
very,
I guess
interesting.
It is interesting. I mean, that just speaks to like energetics, like flipping back into like correct polarity. Like two individuals outside each other, they come into space.
Yeah.
And it's like either you flip back into the correct polarity space or you don't. And it's based on the moment and like what happens in that moment.
Yeah. Cause my system wants to come back to the feminine energy very much, but there's sometimes just I call it my inner dude. My inner dude just needs like a little pat on the back.
Yeah, totally. And just like, the validation. I totally get it. And yeah, we all do. We all need we all need to be seen, validated. And just, we need to feel good about the acts that we're doing in life.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Max, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate you so much. If people want to learn more about you, where can they find more of you?
Yeah, well, the easiest thing is just on Instagram. That's kind of where I live with most of my stuff these days. And, you know, most of the work I'm doing is local in New Orleans, or it's through the John Wineland Containers as an assistant. Yeah. And then I do have some private coaching clients that are more global. But yeah, you know, just Max Trombley on Instagram. And I am developing a website for some of the work that I'm doing. And that should be up sooner than later.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Max. Yeah. I appreciate you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, it's been great. It's been great, Sophie. I look forward to seeing you in person someday soon. And I know. Hopefully after the new year. And until then, take care and keep killing it. You're doing great.
Thank you so much, my loves, for listening to another episode of the Deeper Podcast. If you enjoyed this, please pass along to even just one person who needs to hear this. And my love language is very much words of affirmation, so I love it when you share my work. If there was one sentence that popped out to you from today's episode, please do share it on your social media, tag me in it, and I will shower you with my gratitude. And always, if you want to stay connected, Instagram is the best place. That's where I'm the most active, sophie.josephina, or hop on my mailing list, sophiejosephina.com. And before I forget, all of these conversations, so every podcast episode, is now also available on my YouTube channel, so you can always check it out there.